finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
Buckle up, folks, because this deep dive is, it's a doozy. We're talking nightmare neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the twist. We're only working with one source this time.
Just one.
Just one. A letter sent to the Nightmare Neighbors podcast.
Interesting.
But trust me, it's a wild ride.
I bet.
This letter is packed with drama, humor, and seriously questionable behavior. So today, we're going deep.
Sounds juicy. I'm ready.
We're diving into the psychology of conflict, how these neighborhood battles escalate, and how we can maybe navigate these tricky situations.
You know, those unspoken rules of neighborhood life.
Exactly, because we've all had those weird neighbor experiences, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But this story, this one takes the cake. You have to hear it to believe it.
Can't wait.
So our letter writer kicks things off by describing this perfect neighborhood, you know, quiet streets, beautiful houses, friendly people.
Nice dream, like, right?
Totally. That idyllic neighborhood everyone wants. But then
there's always a but.
There's always a but. Then Linda arrives on the scene.
Oh.
Along with her to St. Bernard's, Baxter, and Bruno.
St. Bernard's big dogs.
Yeah. And that's when things take a turn. Let's just say those dogs weren't exactly well behaved.
I can see where this is going.
From the get-go, the writer's expectations are like completely shattered.
Yeah. You expect peace and quiet and then bam, giant dogs.
And it's more than just annoyance, right?
Absolutely. It's that feeling of betrayal, like a violation of some unspoken agreement.
Like you said, those unspoken rules of neighborhood life.
Right. Like, we're all in this together. We're going to respect each other's space.
Belinda's dogs are like rules. What rules?
They're just living their best lives, I guess.
So the first incident, it involves the writer's beautiful hydrangeas.
Hydrangeas, those are nice.
They are. And let's just say Linda's dogs didn't appreciate their beauty.
Oh, no.
Let's just say they left a little present right there in the middle of those prize-winning flowers.
Oh, yikes.
And Linda's response when the writer confronts her.
I bet it was good.
It was classic. Oh, Baxter's just marking his territory. Boys will be boys. No apology, no offer to clean up, just a shrug, and boys will be boys.
See, that right there, that's a major red flag.
Total red flag.
It's that sense of entitlement. You know?
Yeah.
Like, my dog's needs are more important than your right to an unspoiled garden.
It's like she's saying, deal with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that attitude that's often at the heart of these neighborly feuds.
Is this what people call passive-aggressive behavior?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I hear that term all the time, but I'm never quite sure what it means.
So passive-aggressive behavior, it's like expressing negative feelings indirectly.
So not directly saying, I'm angry, but showing it in other ways.
Exactly. It's about avoiding direct confrontation. but still trying to get your way or manipulate the situation.
So, like, instead of apologizing and cleaning up after her dog, Linda makes the writer feel like they're overreacting.
Right. She's shifting the blame, avoiding responsibility.
Which, of course, just makes the conflict worse.
Oh, for sure. It just keeps the fire burning.
And boy, does this fire keep burning. The letter goes on to describe a constant stream of dog poop all over the writer's lawn.
It's like the dogs have a favorite spot.
It's like Linda's dogs designated the writer's yard as their personal bathroom.
Ugh, not a good situation.
And, you know, the writer tries to be reasonable. They even offer Linda doggy bags.
Oh, that's nice of them.
But nothing changes.
Some people just don't get it.
And then it rains.
Oh, no, here we go.
And apparently Linda is very concerned about her precious pups getting their paws muddy.
Of course she is.
So guess where they end up?
Back to the scene of the crime.
Yep, back on the writer's lawn, which is already a minefield.
A minefield of you-know-what.
Exactly. And things finally reach a boiling point when the writer steps outside barefoot one morning.
Oh, no, I can imagine.
You know, just enjoying that fresh morning air.
Yeah, a nice way to start the day.
And steps right into
a lovely surprise.
You guessed it.
Oh, boy.
And what does Linda say?
I can't wait to hear this.
Get this. You know, dogs are natural composters. You should really thank me.
Compost. Seriously.
Compost. I kid you not.
What planet is she living on?
Right. So instead of apologizing, she tries to spin this whole thing as a favor.
It's like she's created her own reality where dog poop is a gift.
It's amazing. And a little scary.
Absolutely. It's a way to justify her behavior and maintain that sense of I'm right and you're wrong.
So she's basically gaslighting the writer.
In a way, yeah. She's distorting reality to make her actions seem okay.
So at this point, the writer decides to start keeping a journal.
Smart move.
They're documenting every single poop-related offense.
Evidence. You've got to have evidence.
Right, because this is getting ridiculous.
And, you know, sometimes just writing things down can help you see the patterns.
Totally. And this journal, it becomes a key part of the writer's counteroffensive.
Oh, this is getting good.
But the thing is, it's not just Linda contributing to this neighborhood chaos.
Oh, others are involved.
Oh, yeah. We've got a whole cast of characters, each with their own special brand of weirdness.
This is turning into a real-life sitcom.
It kind of is. So first up, we have Neighbor, #2. The writer calls her the Poop Tosser.
The Poop Tosser. That's a great nickname.
Right. So this neighbor has a tiny dog, a teacup poodle named Muffin.
Muffin the Poop Tosser. It doesn't quite have the same ring to it.
Not quite. But here's the thing. Instead of walking Muffin to, you know, an appropriate spot.
Like a park or something.
Right. This woman decides to take matters into her own hands.
Literally.
Literally.
I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Every morning. Like clockwork.
I can picture it now.
She appears in her bathrobe, bag in hand.
Bathrobe.
Bathrobe. And she launches that poop over the fence.
No way.
I'm telling you. It's like her morning ritual.
Like a weird Olympic sport.
The poop toss.
The precision.
Yeah.
You gotta admire the dedication.
Right. But it's also so ridiculous.
It really highlights that tension between personal freedom and the collective good.
It's like her freedom to not walk a few extra steps to the trash can is more important than the writer's right to not have dog poop raining down on their property.
That's the definition of not my problem.
Right. Zero sense of community.
It's that classic nambyism, not in my backyard. It's okay as long as it's not happening to me.
You know, I've seen that attitude in so many situations.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's everywhere.
It's like this me first mentality. It's sad.
It is. But wait, it gets better? Or maybe worse.
There's more.
Oh, yeah. We haven't even met Neighbor, #3.
Bring on the next contestant.
His name is Kyle, and he's obsessed with his lawn.
Okay, I can relate to that a little.
Me too. A nice lawn is great, but Kyle takes it to a whole new level.
How so?
He has these two Great Danes.
Great Danes. Those are huge.
They're massive, and he lets them roam free.
Oh, no, that's not good.
Not good at all. And this is where things start to feel less funny and more dangerous.
Yeah, uncontrolled dogs, especially big ones, can be a real problem.
Exactly. And that's exactly what happens. One of Kyle's Danes charges across the street.
Oh, boy.
And knocks over the writer's kid.
Oh, my gosh. Is the child okay?
Thankfully, it's just a little shaken up. But still.
That's terrifying.
It is. And Kyle's response.
Let me guess. He's just being friendly.
You got it. He shrugs and says, they're just friendly. She shouldn't run. It triggers their prey instinct.
Prey instinct? Seriously?
No, right? So instead of taking responsibility for his out-of-control dogs, he blamed a child.
Unbelievable. It's like he's completely lacking any empathy.
And the writer called animal control.
Good for them.
Twice.
Talking to your face.
Figures. Sometimes those systems just don't work the way they should.
It's frustrating, right?
Totally. It leaves you feeling powerless.
So our writer is stuck dealing with these awful neighbors and a system that's not helping.
So what do they do?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. Stay tuned for part two, where we dive into the writer's counteroffensive.
I can't wait.
Trust me, it's a wild ride. All right, so we're back. And if you're just joining us, we're in the middle of this crazy story about a nightmare neighbor situation.
It's a good one.
It is. It really is. And last time we left our letter writer facing this triple threat, Linda with her pooping St. Bernards, the mysterious poop tosser, and Kyle with his unleashed child bowling Great Danes.
Yeah, it's a lot to deal with.
It is. And they've tried being reasonable. They've called animal control. Nothing seems to work.
So what happens next?
Well, that's when our writer decides to take matters into their own hands.
I like where this is going.
They get creative.
I mean, what else can you do at this point?
Right. The traditional methods have failed, so they got to try something new.
So what's the plan?
It all starts with that journal. Remember how the writer was documenting every poop-related incident?
Oh, yeah. The evidence.
That journal, it becomes like a tactical playbook.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
So they print out these incriminating photos from their security cameras.
Oh, sneaky.
You know, capturing the dogs in all their pooping glory.
Name and shame.
Exactly. And they mail these photos anonymously to the respective owners.
Bold move.
It is. It's like a public shaming campaign. But you know what?
Yep.
It works.
Really?
For a short time, at least. The poop frequency drops significantly. It's like the neighbors are finally getting the message.
So shame is an effective motivator.
It can be. Especially when it comes to neighborhood stuff.
Yeah. Nobody wants to be the bad neighbor.
Right. But this piece, it doesn't last long.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Yeah, things are about to escalate.
Buckle up.
So Linda, how does she retaliate?
I don't know. I'm almost afraid to ask.
She dumps an entire bag of mulch in the writer's driveway.
What? An entire bag?
Not just a little sprinkle. A full-on mulch mountain.
That's aggressive.
Super aggressive. It's like she's saying, oh, you think you're so clever with your little photos.
It's a power move.
Totally. And Kyle...
Oh, I bet he has something up his sleeve.
Oh, he does. He decides to wage war with sound.
Sound.
He starts mowing his lawn at the crack of dawn every Saturday.
Oh, no, the lawnmower.
That high-pitched whine.
It's torture.
Pure torture. And he does it every single Saturday morning.
Strategic, though. It's like he's using noise as a weapon.
Oh, absolutely. It's psychological warfare.
But our writer, they're not giving up.
Not a chance. They're not going to let these neighbors win.
So what do they do?
This is my favorite part. The poop batting incident?
The what?
You heard me right. Poop batting.
Okay, you got to tell me more.
So picture this. It's a beautiful sunny morning. Our writer is lying in, garden rake in hand.
Like a warrior.
Exactly. And sure enough, the poop tosser appears ready to launch Muffin's latest deposit.
The morning ritual.
But this time, our writer is ready.
This is good.
As that poop projectile arcs through the air, the writer swings that rake with the precision of a professional baseball player.
No way.
I'm telling you, they bat that poop right back over the fence.
That is amazing.
And then they deliver the perfect one-liner.
What did they say?
Oops.
Oops, I love it.
The poop tosser is speechless. She starts sputtering about it being unsanitary.
Oh, it's her dog's poop.
Exactly. But our writer just laughs.
The laugh of victory.
It's that laugh of someone who's finally snapped. And embrace the chaos.
You know, there's something powerful about that moment.
Totally. It's like they're finally taking back control.
Like saying, I'm not playing by your rules anymore.
Said it's effective.
I bet.
Things have definitely escalated.
So what happens next? What's the final showdown?
All right, we are back, and things are about to get real in our epic tale of neighborhood drama.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Last time we left off with our writer, you know, taking matters into their own hands.
The poop batting incident was legendary.
It was... But the story doesn't end there.
Of course not. There's got to be a final showdown.
Oh, there is. And it all starts with Lindy calling a neighborhood meeting.
Of course she does.
Right. Like, she's the victim in all of this.
Classic manipulation tactic, trying to control the narrative.
Exactly. And at this meeting, Linda tries to paint our writer as the problem.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She accuses the writer of being the source of all the drama.
Trying to turn the other neighbors against them?
Totally. It's a classic move. But our writer has had enough...
About time.
They stand up and basically let Linda have it.
I thought that was good.
They list every single offense. The dog poop, the mulch. The lawnmower torture.
Wow, calling her out in front of everyone.
No more holding back. And you know what? The most surprising thing happens. After the writer's outburst, Kyle, the Great Dane owner, you know, the one who blamed the kid for triggering his dog's prey instinct.
Yeah, what about him?
He mutters, "She's not wrong."
No way.
I'm telling you. It's like a crack in the facade. It's like even Kyle is starting to see that maybe Linda's not the perfect neighbor she pretends to be.
Wow, that's a turning point.
It is. It gives the writer a new sense of hope, and it inspires one final strategy.
Okay, play it on me.
So first, our writer strategically places their trash cans right in Linda's dog's favorite pooping spot.
Oh, smart blocking access.
Then they install motion-activated sprinklers, targeting those areas where Kyle's Danes love to roam.
Creating consequences.
Exactly. But the real piece de resistance, the fake dog waste DNA testing kit.
No way.
I'm serious. They order this kit online and leave the box very visibly on their front porch.
Genius. Pure psychological warfare.
Right. It's like they're saying, "We're watching you, and we know who's doing what."
Even if it's not real, that threat of exposure can be powerful.
Totally. And guess what?
It worked.
It did. The poop disappears. Linda avoids eye contact. Kyle leashes his dogs. And the poop tosser.
Don't tell me.
She moves.
No way.
I'm telling you, our writer wins.
Wow. What a story.
It is right. And you know, this whole deep dive, it's been more than just a funny story about crazy neighbors.
Definitely. It's made us think about conflict resolution, how we deal with difficult people.
And the importance of setting boundaries.
Absolutely. We all have a right to feel safe and comfortable in our own homes.
And sometimes that means standing up for ourselves.
Even if it means getting creative.
Exactly. So what have we learned today?
Well, first of all, never underestimate the power of a good poop batting rake.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But seriously, I think this story highlights the fact that communication is key.
Even when it's uncomfortable.
And know your rights.
Don't be afraid to seek help if you need it.
That's right. There are resources available. So if you're dealing with a nightmare neighbor situation, you're not alone.
Reach out. Talk to someone.
And remember, sometimes a little creativity goes a long way.
Just maybe skip the poop batting.
Yeah. Probably best to leave that one to the professionals.
Or to the birds.
All right. That's it for this deep dive. Thanks for joining us.
It's been a wild ride.
And if you have any outrageous neighbor stories of your own, we'd love to hear them. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly,
stay neighborly.
Within reason, of course.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.